This message is brought to you by The Covenant Nation.
All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit in this place. We thank you that he is here to glorify Jesus Christ. I ask by the power of that same Spirit that the words that come out of my lips do exactly that. That I speak as your oracle with the ability your Spirit supplies. That your word goes forth unhindered by any demonic force. And that grace be ministered into our hearts, direction to our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Alright, so what I want to do quickly for 30 minutes before we get into our first session of worship, which I want to be intentional, is that I want to share a pattern from the scriptures. And this is a pattern for receiving from God. But I want to focus this evening on the subject of the healing of the body. However, this principle can be used, and when we start practicing it, use it for anything that you came into Wolfberg releasing your faith for in Christ Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans 8 and verse 32. It says, if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not with him also freely give us all things? So that scripture tells us that with Christ, God has given us freely all things. Now, in order to receive what he has given, our prayers are not to cause God to give. Nobody is praying to cause God to heal them, because God has already done these things in Christ. The prayer is centered upon receiving that which God has already given. And when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we'll see that this is why the Spirit was given unto us. But as it's written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. The next verse says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let's go to verse 13. It says in verse 12, it says, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we may know. Now, if you have no, underline that word know. It's crucial that we may know those things that are freely given to us of God. So the Spirit of God is in us to reveal to us so that we may come to know with all certainty those things that are freely given to us by God so that we can receive those things into our lives. Now, if we now go to 1 Peter, let's show the order of God. Chapter 1 and verse 12. How does God do this in his economy? Unto whom it was revealed, that's to the prophets, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So what a preacher is supposed to do, part of his duties, as a steward of the mysteries of God is to come with good news to the people of God. And that is strategic information and insight. That is, the Holy Spirit has been given that we may know. And one of the tools he uses to bring that knowledge to people is that he raises preachers to preach the word of God or to teach the word of God. And he says the information they bring that even angels have desired to look into these things. But they come to preach these things, which are the good news, glad tidings of great joy. And so this evening, briefly, I want to bring a strategic information to you, because this is the work of a preacher. And it's a simple message. The gospel is always simple. No matter how deep it is, it comes in simplicity. Now let's show a preacher that knew his business what he did when he came to give knowledge. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 6 to 10. Acts 14 verse 6 to 10. They were of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lyconium, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. In other words, they gave information about things that had been freely given by Jesus to them that they didn't know about. So what Paul did was he preached the gospel. Or by the Holy Spirit, he brought the information of even things that angels desire to see. Now, what was the effect of it? Let's go on in that scripture there. And then he goes on and says, and there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. But as far as Jesus was concerned, he had already made that man whole by the work that he did on the cross. But that man was still in that condition, all right, going about in that condition, because nobody, through the power of the Spirit of God, had actually preached the good news to that person. Listen. That is by the Holy Spirit. And what's the role of a person preaching the word of God? We'll come back to scripture. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 1 and see what Luke said. Luke said this, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me, having a perfect understanding of all things, from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things which we have been instructed. So the preacher is to, by the power of the Holy Ghost, his responsibility is to cause a person to know the certainty of the things that have been given already by Jesus. So that man, Jesus had already settled it. It wasn't Paul that was going to pray for him and to ask God to do it. What Paul was doing was to inform that man by the power of the Holy Ghost that this issue and condition is outdated, that it has actually been resolved in Christ Jesus already. So let's go back there. So when he preached the gospel, let's go back to Acts chapter 14. Alright? The same heard Paul speak. And then Paul, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he now had faith because of the information he got. Faith cometh by hearing, He that worketh miracles among you, how does he do it? By the hearing of faith. He causes people to hear things that brings about faith. And once he perceived on the inside that he had faith to be made whole, put that scripture there, Paul didn't pray for him to be healed, all right? The same head, perceiving he had faith, he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. There was no prayer involved. Strategic information. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? So it's about bringing information. That is, you pray to get revelation. You bring the revelation to people. People come to a place of certainty in that moment. And then they respond to that particular faith that has been. So they acted. Which means Paul at that point said, you've got to mix the word you heard with faith. Don't just be a hearer. You have to do something. Be a doer. Respond. And I want us to do something this evening. Alright, to act on faith here. Be a doer, because it's when you're a doer, you will get the result. Mark chapter 5 verse 25 tells us of a woman with the issue of blood. Nobody prayed for her. Look at what happened. And a certain woman, but information came, knowledge came, who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, nothing better, but rather grew worse. The Bible says when she heard, that's all that happened. Faith cometh by hearing. When she heard, then she acted on what she heard. Jesus didn't even pray for her. Well, see this. She heard. She said within herself, she acted on it. If I will just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And virtue and power left Jesus. So this evening, Jesus will say in heaven, virtue and power has left me. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The Holy Ghost on the inside of you will say, people have made a withdrawal on what? Because it's based on people being informed and then acting upon that information. So let's look at a few scriptures here. Look at Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. Now it's bodily healing, but you can apply it to other things. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. That's why he taught. Listen, show me one scripture where any person was sick and Jesus prayed for that person. One. That Jesus came and said, I want to pray for you. He gave them commandments on what to do. They did it and the manifestation came. When did he ever call Peter and say, Peter, you know what's happening? Let's pray that fish will come. All right? Prayer is to get that information. When he saw Lazarus, listen, he saw Lazarus, arise, take up your bed and walk. But they took action. They did something that brought the manifestation. Always. Now, look at in 10 here. It says this. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And so he was giving strategic information. Jesus never did miracles without teaching first. I'm saying the reason why people have it difficult to receive is that they are not taught. Jesus was, let's go on here, in the synagogue. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and in could no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he was just giving information and asking and commanding her to do certain things. Look at the next verse. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. And then Jesus answered in it, because he knew what he was doing. He said, thou hypocrite, this is all that I'm doing. He said, if your cattle is thirsty on the Sabbath day, Once you take your cattle to go and drink water, will you say that, you know, it's the Sabbath day? He said, now look at what he now said next. He said, how ought this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this band on the Sabbath day? So Jesus was literally saying, God has a covenant with Abraham, and through that covenant, any daughter of Abraham should not be bound by Satan. So in his teaching, he must have been teaching on that. That caused that woman on the inside of her to have faith to be made whole. And then he touched her and transferred that power. And what happened was, she was upright. So how does that work for us today? In Galatians 3, it tells us that Christ has been made a curse. For cursed is he that hangeth on the tree. Why did he go to the cross? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Therefore, the word of God says, no seed of Abraham should be bound by anything. Are you following what I'm saying here? No seed of Abraham should be bound. And if anybody responds to his word in faith, right, they will touch Jesus concerning that thing, and the power of God will be released into their bodies, into their situation, for certain manifestations within their lives. So in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17, it tells us this. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I want to see why Jesus killed everybody. It says, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Now, there was no exception. Why was this so? The next verse. That it might be fulfilled. In other words, if everybody did not get healed, then that scripture will not be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So regardless of what anybody has, all right, or the symptoms that you might have within your body, that it might be fulfilled, that scripture, that he took their infirmities and all of their diseases and the conditions there, every single individual was healed. And this is the pattern for every single thing in your life. In other words, you come through prayer to know what Jesus has done about it. And then you act not on the condition as it is, but you act on what Jesus has done as it is. So if Jesus says you are healed, you don't act on your condition that I'm sick. You act on the position he has given to you. You are healed. So when they were down, Jesus said, act on it. Not just hear and understand it, you have got to act on it. Take up your bed and walk. Arise and do that. You act on that particular thing based on the information that you have received from God. So in conclusion, I want to show something here. I said all of that to show this. I want to show something in the scriptures that Jesus did as a pattern from receiving from God. Now, in Luke 17, there were 10 lepers that came to meet Jesus. Luke 17 and verse 11. Luke 17:11. It came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers and stood afar off. Now, why did they stay afar off? Because then you couldn't interact with people if you had leprosy. You couldn't. So they were afar off. And so they cried to Jesus. Next verse. They cried unto him and lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, Jesus then prayed to the Father, Father, heal these people of their leprosy. As far as Jesus was concerned, they were already healed. So Jesus told them what to do. He said, put it up, the scripture please. He said, and when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Alright? Now, another narration, one of the gospels, he says, go show yourselves to the priest and offer to the priest, alright, give him what was called the offering of cleansing. Now, what was he saying? If any person had leprosy and he was cleansed, you couldn't just go back to the society. In fact, those blind men that the Bible says they rent their garment and went to meet Jesus who were blind. It wasn't just that they tore their garment as in they tore their clothes. Back then, they had to certify in Israel that you were actually blind and you had a right to beg. So you are given a garment so that anybody who wants to give to you will know they are not being scammed by somebody who can see and is calling himself a beggar. So when that person rose up those blind men and rents the garment, they were renting their means of livelihood. That if this thing doesn't work, I won't be able to earn any living from this point on. Do you get what we're saying here? That was their act of faith, and so they rent their garment and they went to meet Jesus to show that it was an act of faith they did. So here, Jesus was telling people that were already, they were lepers, and they were not yet healed physically. He said, go and show the priest and offer before the priest the offering that you are cleansed. So they were going to go and offer. Alright, you can read it in Leviticus 14. You will offer certain things, and the priest will examine and take the offering and say, you know, turtle doves and all of that, and he will do the sacrifice, and then you will say you are totally cleansed. But the priest will examine you and make sure you are whole. Then you give the offering, and then you go. So these men were going to give the offering, saying that we are already cleansed, when they were still physically leprous. Are you following what I'm saying here? The Bible says, put the scripture there. The Bible says, as they went, they were closed. They were cleansed. So tonight, there is an offering for people who are already healed. And as you go to the Father to give that offering, manifestation will happen. That's what I want to show you. There is an offering, which means, if a person is believing God for a job, there is going to the Father with the offering that I already now have the job. And if you go with that offering to the Father, you are cleansed. You don't wait for it to happen to go. Do you get what we're saying here? It's as they went, they were cleansed. Now, what is this offering that they went to give? Look, if you read it well, we don't have time. Jesus flipped it. When the people were cleansed, before they got there, he turned back and went to give thanks to Jesus. And Jesus said, were there not 10? And made a pronouncement. Now you are what? Whole. There's one thing to be healed, but if you caught leprosy and they took you out of society, your family will have left you. If you are married, their wife will have left you. Everybody will have left you. You won't have worked for years. What Jesus was saying was, now, you are not just going to be healed of leprosy. All the years the cankerworm stole are restored back. Everything you have lost is restored back. Everything that during that period, now those ones that were healed, he didn't take the healing from them, but they will go back into life and start from scratch. He says, when you go back now, you will see that you have been made what? Whole. Are you following me? Is what I'm saying here? Now, so here is the pattern. There's the pattern. What's the corresponding action? A preacher comes, gives the knowledge of something that has happened. The people hear. And we can use this as a pattern and take a corresponding action. What is the corresponding action? The corresponding action is that I go to God and present myself now, not to a natural priest. I go and present myself to Jesus as one that is already healed. I go and present myself to God, not as one who is unemployed looking for a job, not as one who rain has not fallen on my business or whatever it is, not as a drug addict struggling to get free. I present myself to you, God, as one you have already set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when you present yourself that way, whatever it is cleansed from your life. So let me show you the New Testament order here, and then we'll get into it. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Romans 6, 1 to 3. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. Now, for you to be making that suggestion, this is what Paul was saying, it means you don't have the knowledge of what Christ has done. Which means that people will say things about themselves. They will say things about life. They will say things about situations when they don't have knowledge of what he has done. Now put it there. It says, next verse there, verse 3. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He now said, know ye not that so many of us are were baptized into Christ? He said, don't you know that? Don't you have that information? Were baptized into his death. Now go to verse 9 because of time. Knowing that Christ, so he says knowing again. You can study it at home, it starts with knowledge. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no dominion over him. Verse 10. He now says, for in that he died unto sin once. But him that he liveth unto God. Then he says, likewise, reckon yourselves, even though it looks like sin is alive in you, reckon yourselves, or confess, declare it, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. But it says you have to go beyond the confession. Likewise, reckon yourselves, then it goes on, next verse, it says, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its laws thereof. Now, verse 13, it now says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but it says, yield yourselves to God. That word yield means present yourselves unto God. When you go to God, present yourself to God. Not as a struggler. Present, put it there, put it back up, the scripture. Present yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. Not as those who are trying to be made alive, but those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And he says, what is the consequence? For sin shall not have dominion over you when you present. He said, know ye not. And we've said, preaching is to bring people to know those things. But when they know those things, they must reckon themselves as though those things are true in them, even though everything on the outside contradicts it. But it says here is where the power is released. You reckon yourself to be dead. You make the confession of what you have in Christ. He said, but don't forget the third leg. Put it up. Present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, don't present them as what the problem is. In other words, Paul's problem when he was struggling was that he said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He changed it, that this body is not a body of death again, it's an instrument of righteousness unto God. You get what we're saying here? So when he went there, what he was calling a liability, he went and presented it to God as the asset that he had. So the question is, how are you presented? He didn't say, present yourself to man. When Jesus, because of time, sent the 10 lepers, he said, tell no man. Go to the priest and offer. Don't tell anybody. Faith is not about trying to convince other people that it is so. He said, don't tell anybody. It is God before him whom he believed. Jesus didn't tell anybody he was the Son of God. In fact, when the demon started shouting, he said, keep quiet. I don't need to inform people about it. I just need to manifest it. But when I go to God, I must present myself as the Son of God. Do you get what we're saying here? Can't present yourself as one who is struggling with issues and you don't know how difficult it is. You know, the season has changed. Things are hard. If you present yourself that way, you will be that way forever. I showed you here, Jesus didn't call anybody and say, let us pray for this person that this person might be healed. What he did was to inform them that they were already healed and then to act as though they were healed. And now the action that you will take, go to God and present yourself. So regardless you've been through a week of teaching, faith has been stirred up, but don't be a hearer, but be a doer. The woman with the issue of blood heard and immediately said, if I will touch the hem of his garment. You may say, how come she was the only one that heard? Many heard, but she was the one that did something about it. When Paul was preaching, he wasn't only preaching to that man at Lystra. He was the one that mixed the word that he heard with faith. So in this evening service here, in order for there to be an outbreak there, people's faith have been stirred up. And therefore you want to present yourself this evening to God. Whether it's a condition in the body, God, I present myself now. And how will you be, all right, based on what? Based on the fact that in Christ Jesus, he has freely given me all things. And therefore, I am coming before you today to present myself, to my high priest, to present my body to my high priest, to present everything that I have before God, thanking him that I have. So when they went back with thanksgiving, what Jesus was saying to the 10 lepers was, what you need to offer in order for the offering you go to the priest with as your high priest is an offering of thanksgiving. Right? So all the things that you have been confessing, all the things that you have believed that God has done in your life, the prayers that inside you, you have a conviction that God has answered. What's the last step? Present yourselves to God as one who is in possession of it. All right? Or else you just keep trying to intellectually understand what they are saying. It's time to present yourself to God. That is, you get up and say, Lord, I present myself to you. Let me just say this. I keep saying this here, and I was struggling as a minister preaching. and preaching and preaching. And I believed I was anointed. So I felt that the anointing would make people come. So I'll preach. So one day, to call it short, and this is how I got a breakthrough. I went for a meeting in Dr. Crefodola's church, and Kenneth Copeland began to talk. And he said he had carried a condition in his back for 35 years. I said, Copeland? And they would do healing meetings and all that. I said, Copeland? He said, 35 years. He said, one day he was praying in the spirit, God, what's going on? This excruciating pain in my back. He said there were times he would go and preach, and the pain would be so much, he would shout, yeah. People thought it was the Holy Ghost. They didn't know it was the pain in his back. He was telling us. He said, until one day, while praying, God kept reminding me of a story of Kenneth Hagin. That there was a woman in the wheelchair, and Kenneth Hagin got to her, and the anointing was on him. And he said, look, the anointing has lifted. You can't get healed by the anointing, but there's another way in which you can get healed. The woman said, how? He said, by faith. He opened the scripture. He said, look at 1 Peter 2, 23. When did this happen? The woman looked at it. She looked at it. She said, by stripes we were healed. And then the woman on the wheelchair said, Father, I thank you. I remember when I used to come into meetings like this in this condition. I remember when I couldn't do things for my children and all of that. Thank you that I'm now doing these things freely. Thank you that I now walked into this meeting. She was presenting herself to God as one that was walking around the entire place. That's what she did. The Bible says, and Hagin said, not the Bible, he said, the power hit the woman. She got up and walked. God told Copeland, he said, that story kept coming back. He said the conclusion of it was that one day, his wife just came into the car and he was going somewhere. He said, well, she said, can I put this tape in? This was Brother Hagin's meeting that I just finished coming. He said, can we play? He said, I was listening to it. Now we have to go out. Can I put it where I stopped? He said, yes, put it. He said, I should just put it there. Can I think he was telling the same story? And he told it at every camp meeting. He said he knew that was it. God told him, you are putting your healing into the future when the healing is in the past. He said, you are saying God will heal when I have already healed. Some of you are saying God will do it. It's either he has done it or he will never do it. So it is either it has been done now or it will never happen. So God told him, draw a line in the sand, he told us. And once you cross that line, he said, tell yourself from that day, I will never talk about my healing as though it's something God is going to do, but it's something that he has done. So he said, I will set a date for that healing. And the date was August 8th. He said he called in all, it was in Southwest Believers Convention. He said he called in all the preachers that came. He said, Reverend Jerry Savelle, Reverend Jesse Duplantis, Dr. Creflo Dollar. He said, all of you come in. He said, this is what's happening. Lay your hands upon me, August 8th. And from this moment on, I will never talk about the condition. I need a point of contact. This condition as something that God is going to do. And then he said, from that moment on, he started talking and thanking God that it was done. He wrote it on the 8th of August, 2008 here. I got completely healed. I received the manifestation of whole healing. And he said, I began to reckon and was thanking God. To cut long story short, everything disappeared from his body, but it wasn't just that. He said when he went to shower one time, he looked at his toenail. He went skiing one time and lost his toenail. He one day was showering, he realized the toenail had grown back by itself. You see, healing wasn't just for that. It spread through every single thing he was doing. He said then he got to his hairdresser, and the hairdresser said, sir, what did you do with your hair? He said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, you don't entertain negative confession. But all your hair was falling out, but I couldn't tell you because you will rebuke me if I tell you. But it seems everything has grown. What did you apply? He realized that that power healed his back, entered into his toenail, and into his head. So this evening, he told us, draw the line. Whatever you have believed God for, cross it today at that meeting and never return back to it. It was that day I knew I was trying to use the anointing to make it happen, not faith. And it's faith that gets the result. So you may be more anointed than somebody, but somebody is operating in faith, and you are not, and your anointing is not converting. So I drew the line in the sand, and I said, and I heard the voice of God. He said, if you obey what you're hearing and sit under this anointing, he said, God told me in 3 years, you'll be running 3 services. Listen to me. In 1 year, we had expanded the building 3 times, and we're running 5 services. because I crossed the line that day and never referred to the church as a church that is going there, but a church that is already there. Do you get what I'm saying here? So as far as your eye can see, cross it now. Are you following here? Mr. Singakov. So we're going to do something. You just give yourself a little bit of space. And whatever you came to this grounds, walk back with, that is inside your heart. I came into walk back here with this. Now, rise to your feet. I want us to do something. And you'll take a step forward. And you tell yourself, from this moment forward, God is not going to do it. God has already done it where? In Christ. And every time I feel something on the outside, I will present myself to God as one in whom that thing is already done. This has nothing to do with human beings. It has to do with, the Bible says, Abraham before him whom he believed. You are believing before God and not before men. So at the count of three, 1, 2, 3, you take that step, and then we break in and begin to thank God. And in this Thanksgiving, listen, don't just be singing. Present yourself. Are you following what I'm saying here? Present your business. Present yourself. Present everything to God as you have meditated, as you have prayed, as you have imagined. Present it unto God that I am rejoicing and thanking you today because this is my present situation in life. So at the count of three, and then we explode into a place of praise. All right? You will take that leap in your mind. I came to Wolfbeck because if Paul preached and didn't tell them to leap, that man would have gone back. All right? And it would have been more difficult to convince that man that he was healed. So don't leave the Wolfbeck ground, all right, as you came. You have to take that leap and say, now I leap into this experience. And once I go out, no matter what appears to me, I will present myself to you, God, as one who is alive from the dead, as one who is healed, as one who is in this position, that the power of God might rest upon me. At the count of three, we leap, and then we're going to a place of presenting with a song. Presenting, which means in your imagination, see that particular thing happen. See it fulfilled. Thank God that it's fulfilled. Worship Him that is done. And enjoy the feeling of being in possession of that thing. F.F. Bodwell said, God throughout human history has accepted thanksgiving and praise as the corresponding action for any promise that He has given. If a person will come with thanksgiving real from the heart and praise, he will accept it as the corresponding action for its fulfillment. So at the count of three, leap into it and never go back. 1, 2, and 3.
Let each vessel offer unto you the sacrifice of praise. Yes. You alone. You alone are worthy. You deserve a glory. Yes. Jesus, you alone. You alone are holy. Lift your hands to Him and tell Him, you alone are worthy. it up. Worthy of my praise. You are worthy. Worthy of my praise. You are the Most High. You are worthy. I present my family to you. You are worthy of my praise. You are the Most High. You are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. You are the Most High. Ora marana kopera natalienena. I said you are worthy. Worthy of my praise. Talunabi olarua. Talunabi olarua. Talunabi. Fashaleri tabule. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Jehovah. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy to lift your hands and tell him.
Every day the Most High reigns.
How
Come on, somebody. Lord.